We are in Alma chapter 20, and you know that Lamoni comes and wants to take Ammon to meet his father. He's so excited by this conversion that he's had, and so he does exactly what we know the pattern is. He has this desire to show up, to share it with all of his family and all of his loved ones. He wants them to experience this mighty change of heart, this peace, this love of God that he's experienced. So of course he wants to share it with his family. And the Lord says to Ammon, you can't go, because if you go, the king will want to kill you. And I need you to go to Madonai, because your brothers are there in prison. Aaron, Mulekai, Amah are all in prison, and you need to go rescue them. So he goes and he tells Lamoni, I can't go with you. He doesn't tell him about God warning him about his father, but he does tell him about him needing to go and rescue his brothers. And I love that Lamoni says to him, who has told you? And Ammon, without any, you know, mincing of words, which is true to Ammon, says the king, or I mean, God. God has told me that my brothers and I need to go. And the thing that I love about this is Lamoni has no doubt at this point. And you have to remember, this has been a process of days. 3 days, Ammon serves the king and does the whole flocks and spares them. And then we know that's a process of the king is in a coma for 3 days and then rises. And then he teaches his wife and then his wife and his servants and everyone teach the kingdom. So we know, we don't know really months. We don't know days, but we know it's not that much time, because yes, this incredible transformation, they set up the gospel, so probably months, but he so wants to go and convert his dad. So it's not been a lot of time. So it's amazing Lamoni's love and trust of Ammon in such a small amount of time. And that is nothing short of the miracle of God. And so I love that he says to Ammon, I know in the strength of the Lord, verse 4, thou can do all things, but I will go with you because I can be of service. The king of the land of Madonai is my friend Antiomno, and I can go and I can convince him to cast thy brothers out of prison. And so I just love that he so loves Ammon that he wants to go and he wants to be used as an instrument in God's hands. And it's just so cool that there's no doubting that it's true. He takes that completely. Ammon's word, he knows. Ammon could read his thoughts. He's seen these miracles, so there's no doubting. And that just shows you how complete the conversion is. And I love that. I love Lamoni. Okay, so I love in verse 6 that it shows this again. Now when Lamoni had heard this, he caused his servants to make ready his horses and his chariots, and he acts immediately. I'm going to help you do this. His whole desire to go see his father or whatever else is going on in the kingdom is laid aside, and he's going to go help Ammon do exactly what God has asked him to do. So they set out, and in verse 8, they meet his father. Lo and behold, they're going to this other land to deliver Ammon's brethren, and they run into Lamoni's father. Okay, so here's the thing that is amazing about this to me. Ammon has been told that his father, Lamoni's father, will seek his life to kill him. So he's been warned this of God. So what do you think his thoughts are when they meet him on the road? I mean, that's kind of a scary thing. And then also, don't you think to yourself, why did God tell him not to go there? Did God not know that he would come meet them on the road? Did God not know this was going to happen? Of course God knew this was going to happen. So why? Why would they run into this king? So then we know in verse 10, he says to his son, where are you going? With this Nephite, a child of a liar. He already knows, Ammon knows, that the king is very rooted in tradition and hates the Nephites, knows he will try to destroy him. Okay, and so then I love in verse 12, Lamoni tells his conversion story to his father, tells him this incredible, miraculous event that happened, tells him of passing out joy, tells him of seeing the Savior, tells him of seeing the vision of Mary, the mother of the Savior, tells him of all of this, and he's so excited because that's why he wants to go see his dad in the first place, is to bear his testimony and to give his dad this awesome joy in this testimony, in this truth that he has, and allow his dad to be healed and feel the love of God and know this incredible truth he has. And then in verse 13, he is completely blown away after testifying of all this incredible stuff. And he's seen his wife converted. He's seen his servants converted. He's seen so many of his own people converted. And his father is angry in verse 13. And so it says that Lamoni is completely astonished. And his father's angry and says, Lamoni, thou art going to deliver these Nephites who are sons of liars. And this is more of their tradition. They are liars. They have robbed our fathers. And they will continue by their deceiving and their cunning to destroy us and take our property. And that is all the tradition that has been passed down by Laman and Lemuel. And it just is astonishing to Lamoni that his father has not heard a word he said, or what he has borne witness of has not touched his father. Now the father commands him to kill Ammon. And this is the king who is over Lamoni, and the Lamanites obey their king. And the interesting thing is in 15, Lamoni says, I will not. That's huge. Neither will I return to Ishmael and go home with you. I won't go home with you, but I am going and doing what the prophet and what God has told me to do. And I love in 15, the very last line, I know they are just men and holy prophets of the true God. Well, this makes his father even more angry. And he stands to smite his own son. He's so mad at his own son and just cannot believe his son's stupidity all of these years of tradition. And so he's just astonished that his son would even be friends with the Nephite. And I love that that then gives Ammon an opportunity to stand forth and protect his son Lamoni from his own father. And Ammon protects him. And then he says, you know what? If you were to kill your son, he would go to God. He's repented. He would be with God in heaven, but you would be struck down by the vengeance of God because of your heart, which is not repented, and because of your evil. So then the king is so mad at this that he turns on Ammon. He's so angry because this is who he's angry at in the first place. And as he stretches forth his hand, Ammon does the same exact thing that he does with the flocks of King Lamoni. He has been, his father, Mosiah, has been promised. He will be protected. And so Ammon is able, instead of smiting his arm off, he's able to smite it so he can't use it. And I love this. Now, when the king saw in 21 that Ammon can slay him, he began to plead for his life. And 22, Ammon raises his sword and says, I will smite thee, except thou grant unto me that my brothers be cast out of prison. Do you think at this point that Ammon thinks, this is why we met him on the road? This is going to be an instrument in delivering my brothers from prison. God knew. And I just thought of that conference talk and that little video that we have of Holland's conference talk, and it's called Wrong Roads. And he tells the story of going with his son for the day. And then as they went to return home, there's a fork in the road they hadn't noticed before, and they don't know which way to go. And so they pray and they choose one way, and it ends up being a dead end. And his son says, why would God make me feel good about that? Why would God make us feel good about that? And his dad and Elder Holland says to him, perhaps God let us go that way so that we hit the dead end quickly and knew that was the wrong road and we could get on the right one. And so I just love that because I feel like it just ties so much into this. Why would God tell me not to go with Lamoni to meet his father, but tell me to go to Madoni to deliver my brothers and then we meet his father? Is it possible that God knew his father wouldn't be in Madoni and that they would meet his father on the road to Madoni and that he would be a means of delivering the Ammon's brothers from prison? And so I love that. Okay, so then when he has his sword risen and says, I will smite thee, the king then the second time says, if thou wilt spare me, I will give you, in verse 23, whatsoever you ask, even half my kingdom. Okay, that's how terrified he is. That's a lot to be willing to give. And so then in 24, Ammon just says, free my brothers, but also let Lamoni rule according as he wants. And don't be displeased with him. Let him choose. And so I love this. And then the king begins to rejoice and realizes that Ammon has no other motive but pure love for his son. And that's incredible. In 26, he says, and when he saw Ammon had no desire to destroy him, and when he also saw the great love he had for his son Lamoni, he was astonished exceedingly. Everything he's been taught is now turned on its head. Could I be wrong? Could all of these things I think of these Nephites as being liars and cunning and trying to rob, wrong? And I love that, and said, because this is all thou hast desired, I will release thy brethren and suffer my son to retain his kingdom. I will also grant that he can do it from this time forever according to his will, and I will govern him no more. And then he says, but I want you and your brothers to come and teach me. And I just love that. In this one instance, here he Ammon knows again another time that doing what God asks leads to great miracles. If we trust that he knows he's going to meet him on the road and that this is going to be a means of delivering his brothers. And I love that. And so that is so cool. And then 28, it tells us they go, they find favor with the king of this land, Madoni. And that tells you it takes time. It doesn't happen immediately for them to find favor. And then when they see in 29, and when Ammon did see them, he was exceeding sorrowful, for they were naked and their skins were worn exceedingly, because they had been bound with strong cords and they had suffered hunger and thirst and all kinds of afflictions. And I love this because I want to go. Just this weekend, I had the privilege of being with my mom and her brothers as they went to go, and we couldn't do it in Memorial Day, but they went to go honor the graves of people in their family that had died. And it was such a privilege to get to hear stories and their genealogy and awesome testimonies. But more than that, it was a privilege to get to be with my uncles and aunts and hear them testify and open the scriptures to me. And several times the Spirit said to me, you are but a babe or a child. Those words that Joseph Smith said, you are but a babe in your understanding of the scriptures. And there is so much you can learn from them. And it was such a privilege as they opened the scriptures and shared things with me. And this is one of the scriptures they opened. Mosiah 24:15. And now it came to pass, the burdens that were laid on Alma and his brethren were made light. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them that they could bear up their burdens with ease. And this is a scripture we know well. And they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord. And the very last verse or sentence in verse 29 is they were patient in their sufferings. And one of the things my uncle told me is there are two ways that we will be tried as members of the church. It is in our faith and our patience. And so often we say, well, what are you not liking about my faith? He's trying my faith. I'm struggling and I'm trying to be faithful. But we forget the second part is patience. And that may have nothing to do with our faith. It's just that we're going to continue on to be humble and submissive and trust in the timing of the Lord. So this was really interesting as I studied it this morning, that sentence of patience in their sufferings. And that just shows such humility. And then it tells us in verse 30, as it happened, it was their lot to have fallen into the hands of a more hardened, more stiff-necked people. Therefore, and there's those words, they would not hearken unto their words. So again, this is a people that is choosing not to. They would not. And it goes on to detail their trials and their sufferings. And so the thought I had at this is sometimes God allows the miracle quickly. Sometimes he allows Alma and Amulek and Nephi to break the bands with which they're bound immediately. And sometimes he doesn't, and he allows Alma and Amulek to be in prison and to be suffered and tormented and mocked and ridiculed and abused, like these brothers of Ammon have been in prison and for a long amount of time, and Nephi on the boat. And sometimes he allows others, not their priesthood, which they have and they could use, but God restrains them not to. He allows others to be the means of his miracle. And so the question I would ask for Come Follow Me to my family and have you ask your people is, when has someone been your miracle? When has someone been your answer to prayer? Or when have you been someone else's miracle? When have you been someone else's answer to prayer? I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much God loves you.